Hello there. I'm back after a very exciting occasion publishing the Planet Waves edition from tonight. Tonight's the 21st, and this is the one where we led with the story that broke yesterday on the 20th of Mike Brown and company, a buddy of his, a young professor down the hall, have basically figured out that the way a bunch of distant orbiting objects called scattered disk objects or oriented in the solar system, that there must be some very large planetary object out on the edge of the solar system that is pulling them in that direction, or that pulled them in that direction at one time, because they're now looking for that thing in the opposite direction. I need to figure out the reasoning process of how they do this, but it seems that every time I sit down to do the Capricorn reading, there's lots of big news happening. When I did the written reading, when was that? That was in late November, I think. The climate conference in Paris was opening. Hard to believe that was 6 weeks ago, but it was more than 6 weeks ago. So anyway, here we are. Got some runes cast for you. And by the way, sorry, I'm hiccuping. The astrology of this moment is the end of Mercury retrograde. It's been a pretty good Mercury retrograde, though it's taken some time to get my wheels on the ground making these recordings, but now I'm well on the way. And a series of Mercury-Pluto conjunctions in your sign in Capricorn. Now that's interesting, and it's deep, and it's the, like, you now can change your mind astrology. It's the, you have the ability to get your mind past the temperature where thoughts and ideas about yourself are brittle to the point where they are warm enough to flex and bend and be able to be shaped and sculpted and formed. This could also be meltdown weather. But in any event, I like to think of it as being the opportunity for deep thinkers to think more deeply than they ordinarily might. And it's pretty special. Mercury stationing direct. I forgot it was the full moon, too. I can get a little bit confused because I've got to leapfrog around so much, right? This thing for 3 months ahead and this thing for 1 week ahead and this thing for 2 weeks ahead. And I sometimes like forget what time it is. Okay, anyway, lots of exciting astrology happening at the moment, infusing this reading. And I've cast five runes using the Ralph Blum set, the nice, beautiful white ceramic ones with red lettering on them. And the object I've selected is an old piece of pottery that I found out in the Egyptian desert when I was visiting there in 1996 with Barbara Hand Clow and a group of people with Power Places Tours. And we just, I'm not sure where we were roaming, what expedition we were on that day. It may have been the day we went to find the crocodile initiation chamber, where you'd have to walk across a thing full of crocodiles. But if you experienced fear, they would eat you. But if you were not afraid, they wouldn't eat you. So it was kind of like an initiation chamber. And I'm pretty sure that was the only day that we had to wander so far out into the desert. But in any event, that thing is actually from Egypt. I have not been able to get a real reading on what it is. I'm kind of amazed that I have it. I asked our guide if I could bring it home, and he said, sure. So that was a famous guy named Hakim. That's another story. But if you know any people who frequent spiritual visits to Egypt, ask them about Hakim. He's an intense character, and I got along well with the guy. And hey, he let me bring that thing home. Okay, so it is there. It's the oldest thing I own, I think. Like, it's God knows how old. Probably 2,000-3,000 years old. And there it is. And the runes are placed on little agate slabs, and these are cast from right to left, the traditional way to read runes. And here's what we've got. First of all, the first rune we have is Raido, letter R, the journey, the rune of the journey. And so this is an implication that you are indeed on a journey. We knew that. This is just a little R for reminder of that one fact. And when we look at the second rune, we see that it is a journey toward yourself. The rune that comes up in the second position is the rune of self. The rune that says and or implies, know thyself. This is the thing. I mean, it's it was what was written above the entranceway to the Delphic Oracle, and it seems to be the most important thing for anyone on a path of attaining knowledge or attaining healing gifts of any kind, attaining power, whatever that might be. I'm sure anyone who has ever succeeded to that would look back and say, oh yeah, by the way, it really is important to know thyself. And this is not to say obsess over yourself or know thyself at the expense of other things, but what it is implying is that self-knowledge is the key that opens the way to other knowledge. And I would say similarly that self-trust is the thing that opens the way to trusting other people, because ultimately, when you make a choice to trust someone, you have to ask yourself whether you trust yourself enough to make that determination. And so you can't really trust anyone else fully unless you trust yourself. You know, you, I guess, can. I could see a situation where you might say, well, okay, I don't trust myself, but I will trust you. I could see getting out of like a dangerous situation where you have to rely on a sea captain or a pilot, and you might not trust yourself to pilot the airplane, but you have no choice but to trust the person who is piloting you. And if it's optional, you can hope you made a good decision. But in any case, know thyself is a pretty good thing to do. And it's a path. It's a journey. It never really ends. And one of the ways that I would say that your charts are saying to get to know yourself is through language, particularly if language is difficult for you. I think that we currently underestimate the amount of work it takes to learn how to read and write. We think that just because we went to university, maybe wrote term papers, that we can, and read textbooks, that we can read and write, but these things are lifetime acquisitions, and your planets are, among other places, concentrated in the region of reading and writing. Quite a bit of visual expression implied by Pisces as well. Okay, the next rune keeps turning up. It's interesting to watch the pattern of these runes, where, you know, one or two from the previous reading show back up in the next one, and when we look at all 12, it'll be interesting to study the occurrences and recurrences of these. But we get the rune called Oopsie Daisy. What's this one? Is the okay, I thought I knew this one. I want to get the here it is. Ah, interesting. It is the same. It's called Algaes, and it's the same as the central rune for your opposite sign, Cancer. Might want to check out that reading. But I'll wow, there's two runes in the same position for Cancer and Capricorn. There's Algaes in the third position and Othelia in the fourth position. That's really pretty cool, considering that it's opposite signs. Okay, so first of all, Algaes is the rune of protection. And the way you can visualize that is that those spread out things at the top of the glyph are like the horns of an elk. And what the horns of an elk do, in addition to providing a thing to like clobber other beings with, should that be necessary, is that they provide a circumference. They provide space. So when you see the antlers on an animal like that, it's not merely that they're sticking out in the direction that they're sticking out in. Imagine as you turn your head or bow it up and down or sway it from side to side that they create a spherical perimeter within which it's not really very safe to, you know, stick your head or your hand or anything else, and they provide a safe distance. And the other symbol in this is sedge grass, rushes, the sound of the wind blowing through the grass. And this is a subtler, though it also involves air, because the horns of an elk or deer involve air as well. But the sound of the breeze, the wind, rushing through the sedge grass is something that you can think of as a language. And so if you sit in a field and listen to the wind blowing through the tall grass, if you're out in some tall grass, maybe try that sometime. Or if you're in a forest where there is a breeze that picks up and that blows through the leaves, that is a language. And you can listen to and interpret that language. And so there's something to this about non-verbal language offering a kind of protection. And so it's listening to nature, listening to the sounds of birds. In tracking school, one of the first things you learn to do, in addition to moving as silently as possible and breathing quietly, is to, which I wouldn't be very good at, is to listen to the sound of the birds. And the sound of the birds will pause if there is danger. They will shut up because they don't want to be found. And that's a way of communicating that. So there's a non-verbal, almost telepathic, it's symbolic out to that degree where it seems intuitive. Okay, next position is what one must give up, or the position of exchange, as I like to think of it. And here, we once again get Othelia, the rune of separating paths. Now, how's that? That has appeared so far in three of the readings for the cardinal signs. It does not appear in Libra. So it appears in all of the readings for the cardinal signs, except for Libra. Libra has a little bit of a different, but I think similar image of treading the narrow path. So Othelia is about separating paths. It's about the branching of the road, where, you know, you get to make a choice. And basically what I think this thing is saying, and what it says to me, is in order to proceed in the direction you want to go, you've got to pick the things you don't want with you. And that would be, you know, you might start with everything that causes you misery. You might start with everything that you find to be a source of anguish or frustration that is not providing you with an information source or something healthy, nourishing, productive. And this is difficult. I mean, a lot of progress is lost because people don't want to give up what they know hurts them. So you might consider what you know is toxic to you. It might be wheat. It might be a person who really gets on your nerves. It might be someone whose whole trip in life is their drug addiction, and then it's their problem, but it has a way of becoming your problem. And pick what you don't want, and consider that a kind of a sacrifice. You know, think the thing that you're offering up. It's like, well, here you go, God. Here are all the things that just piss me off and that annoy me and that I don't need on this journey that I am on. And presuming that you can do that, the final rune is Wunjo, the rune of joy, happiness. It's pretty much the Nine of Cups equivalent in the runic system. So this is a beautiful little spread, and I love that the rune of protection keeps showing up, and that this protection comes in the form of a perimeter. This is very important. Everybody talks about boundaries, boundaries, boundaries. Well, how about we talk about a perimeter where someone gets to come in or not, and you understand that. Who comes in your home? Who comes in your bedroom? What are the conditions of someone coming in to your bedroom? What's the code of conduct? And how do you keep them out? And can you keep them out? Can you hold space? Can you do that that thing of algaes and hold the space around you? And, you know, are you willing to move your head and set up the situation where someone who gets a little too close gets clocked on the head? Yeah, probably won't kill them, but, you know, people should know better. Don't fuck with a big elk. You know, say hello and take a good look at it and keep on walking. So there you have it, and all coupled with a nice old Capricorn-styled artifact from someone somewhere in very ancient Egypt. I've got to really ask someone what the heck that thing is and what is to be done with it. I know the person to ask, too, would be John Anthony West, my friend Zoe's dad, who is a famous old Egyptologist. He's the guy who figured out that the Sphinx was much, much older than Egyptologists were saying. I think that the Sphinx is the oldest thing on Earth, personally. And turns out that there actually is water damage that was being repaired in the Old Kingdom. They were fixing the thing in the Old Kingdom. It predates Egypt. It's a thing from way the fuck back. And that's Capricorn. You're a thing from way the fuck back. And Pluto is ripping its way through your sign in an act of renewal, of regeneration, of taking that which is old and making it new. And we do live in an age of retrieval. It's kind of a golden age of Capricorn in a lot of ways, where, yeah, it's really amazingly cool that I can sit here with this awesome Shure KSM32 microphone going into a tube preamp and blah blah blah, and I convey my voice to you over the internet, and I think that pottery, like handmade dishes and handmade candles and soap, all of which are now available many places in abundance, is just as cool. And so we are in this time of everything old is new again, or as has been said, digital retrieves medieval. We have one question that Amanda was able to scope out, and let's see. Liana writes, I'd love to hear what's the message and what can be extracted from planets. She says Neptune in the 12th. What she means is Saturn in the 12th square Neptune and the Uranus-Eris conjunction from a creativity and work perspective. Good question. Not sure I answered that previously. Remember. Hold on. While you're remembering, I'm going to look at the chart and see what's going on here. Okay, so creativity and work, that is something, that's a general category that I like to work with, thinking of that which is, you know, vocational as that which is creative. Now, let's see, addressing this directly. First of all, the creativity house, if such can be isolated, is the fifth. Let's look at where Venus is. Ah, Venus is in Scorpio. And this is the Winter Solstice 2015 chart. I'll answer again from the viewpoint of the Winter Solstice 2016 chart, if I can find it. Okay, so, I mean, here's what I think. It's all basically creativity. And when you take Saturn and take it through the 12th house, which is a kind of a creative reservoir, and you have all of these ripe, juicy planets in Pisces in the third house, very expressive place. Not a heck of a lot going on in Taurus, by the way, except that the moon was in Taurus at the solstice. And so there is a place to find yourself wherever the moon is. But speaking of the Saturn-Neptune square, I think that if this is not taken as expressive and creative, it would certainly be heavy and weighty and depressing. And so this is the perfect setup for my teacher Joe's aphorism that the opposite of depression is expression. And so I would say that it's essential because you need a way to process, engage, and move all of this energy and all of this karma. And the way to do that is creativity. I mean, think about someone, really any artist, but think of, say, for example, David Bowie, who your fellow Capricorn, who left the planet a little more than a week ago, and how he had this absolutely brutal, vicious, horrendous upbringing, and he was able to work with it constructively and creatively by basically making himself into the consummate artist and making everything he did with his life a form of art. And he, turned himself into a painting and paintings and a series of fictional characters and music and played like 20 instruments. I didn't know that he played basically every instrument you can play. I mean, cello and like some Japanese string instrument and saxophone and guitar and piano. So I think that when there is a lot of astrology going on, and you have plenty, I mean, Pluto and Capricorn, and then your planet squaring all these planets in the third house, not everyone is going to be thrilled about this. Not everyone, especially people who don't have access to the dial in what's going on transformative power of astrology, are going to be doing very well with this. And you have the ability to, basically hoist your sail and point your vessel in the right direction and to make the most out of this. I'm going to pause the recording here for a second and take a look at the Solstice 2016 chart, which I haven't really mentioned yet, but let me see if I can find that thing. Okay, there it was, right where it belonged, right with the Taurus reading. That's tomorrow's job. All right, so Solstice 16, where we are all heading. Mercury's back in Capricorn. It is retrograde in Capricorn, conjunct Pluto once again. Pluto's advanced a whole degree in a year. And let's see. So we count down there. Okay, where do we find Venus in Aquarius? So let me just add one more thought here about the creative idea of translating into kind of a mental process of breaking things down into steps, using logic, using a kind of inventiveness, and practicing a kind of detachment. Now, your planets don't point to detachment, but the direction that you're heading is learning. You know, this is part of the learning to sort out what is a thought and what is an idea from what is a feeling or an emotion or an intuition. This requires some discernment. And I think that one gift here of Venus in Aquarius in the 2016 solstice chart, Capricorn solstice, is the ability to be a little bit more detached, to take at least be able to attain a posture of objectivity. That objectivity might be you get some distance, you look from another viewpoint, you look from another angle, and you see how things look from that other angle. And, you know, one of those other angles is, as our friend Mr. David Jones, who became the rock star David Bowie, demonstrated, is learn a lot of tools. Learn every tool. Learn every tool you get. Look at every tool you pick up or discover as an opportunity to learn how to use that thing. And this way, you're able to have the possibility of many more viewpoints. Kind of like why I'm using rune readings in addition to astrology readings and adding artifacts to them and talking about the artifacts. It's to shift the context. And part of why I do music, in addition to why being it so much fun, is that it provides another way to tell a story. And by the way, the Capricorn theme, we'll go out with that, is called L'Esprit. I'm not sure how to pronounce that. We name these things very spontaneously, but it's L'Esprit, L'Esprit, meaning experience and having direct experience rather than, you know, like a lot of people do, have everything be in their head, have the actual experience. Put your feet on the ground and touch the dirt and smell the dirt and go and talk to the tree and, you know, talk back to the book too. All right, I think this more or less covers the territory. I'm always looking forward to the next reading. One idea, I will end on this note, that I came out of reading the Capricorn essay this morning over at Cafe Duo with was my idea for the spring reading. I got it. And that is Tantra astrology, to actually do a 12-part reading that focuses the subject of sex and sex as a spiritual tool and a vehicle for pleasure and a way to connect with the deepest elements of your inner reality, to celebrate existence. So look for that. That will be in a couple of months prior to Mars retrograde. I'm going to focus it right on that Mars retrograde and tell that story that you will be living of weaving together Mars in Sag, retrograding into kind of where it belongs, Mars in Scorpio, and stationing direct. So be bold and be brave, and more than anything, be yourself. All right, Cousin Capricorn, love you, and I'll catch you on a different day. Bye for now.
Thank you.